Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Headed towards you. Acts chapter number 28. I have preached out of Acts chapter number 28 I don't know how many times over the past 10 years, but I got another little thought out of it in the middle of the night last night, and I want to give it to you this morning and see if the Lord will help us with it. I sure hope He will, and I want to be a blessing and a help to you today. I love the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a dynamic book. Man, there is so much that's going on in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, the book of Acts is what many refer to as a transitional book. And we are transitioning from law to grace in the book of Acts. Amen. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has rose again. Jesus has ascended back into the heavens, and we are now, transitioning to grace here in the book of Acts. Chapter number 27 and chapter number 28 are very interesting chapters in the book of Acts. There's a lot that goes on in chapter number 27 and chapter 28. Let me just mention this to you briefly by way of introduction, and then we'll get to our text. But in chapter number 28, you find that Paul has been arrested in chapter number 27. In chapter 26, he's been arrested. In chapter number 27, he begins to sail towards Rome. He does that so that he can tell those in Rome about the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter number 27, there is some things that happen. Paul makes a statement in chapter number 27. They're fixing to sail, and Paul tells them that they do not need to sail. They don't need to do what they're fixing to do, but you know what they do? They listen to the shipmaster more than to Paul, and they end up sailing. And because of the sailing, even though there was a statement that was made, they find themselves encountering a major storm in their life. And I'll say this to you in passing this morning. If they would have only listened to the preacher, they would not have been in the storm that they was in. You know, a lot of times people have this conception in their mind, the preacher's just up there to scream and to holler and to tell me everything that I'm doing wrong. That's not what it's about. The preacher is up there to give you a word from God's word. And Paul gives them a word. Paul gives them a statement that they don't sail, but they do anyway. And because of that, they find themselves in chapter number 27 in a major storm. So we see this storm, we see this statement, but I also see the sailors in chapter number 27. Boy, there's a lot that can be said about all of those sailors there in chapter number 27. Because of this storm, they're now in a big mess. Man, they've thrown things overboard. They don't even think they're going to make it back to land. And Paul stands up again in chapter number 27 and gives a speech. He gave a statement at the beginning, but now he rears back, and in my opinion, he just preaches right here in chapter 27. Look what he said in verse 21 of chapter 27. He says this, "But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete." You know what Paul said in this speech? "You should have listened to me. I knew what I was talking about." That's really what Paul was saying. And it wasn't that Paul knew what he was talking about, but it was that the Lord knew what he was talking about. God gave Paul a statement to give to those men, and they rejected that. So Paul begins to give them a speech and says, "Hey, listen, you should have listened to me." But he says, "I've got good news. I have heard from the sovereign." You see, the sovereign is mentioned because Paul said this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. In verse number 23, the sovereign shows up on the scene and brings them to a place of safety. Can I just say this about chapter 27? I'm not going to preach on chapter 27, but I had to run through it to get to chapter 28. Can I just say this? Aren't you glad that in those times in our life when the preacher preaches and we don't listen to him, when God tries to tell us something and we don't listen to God and we go the opposite direction, is there anybody else glad that God doesn't give up on us and that God brings us back into a place of safety where we need? Amen right there. Chapter number 28 rolls around. They've been in this major storm. The boat's busted all to pieces. Matter of fact, some ends up swimming to shore. Those that couldn't swim to shore, according to the last two verses of chapter 27, some came in on broken pieces of the ship. Man, it is a mess in chapter 27. But in chapter 28, you can see a stick. In chapter 28, you can see a serpent. And in chapter 28, you can see a very pleasant surprise, because that serpent that was on that stick that got on God's anointed, Paul shook it back off and didn't die. And all the people couldn't believe what happened. I'm interested in one of those words that I mentioned today. I'm interested in the stick. Let's see what the Bible said. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 28, you may say, why was your mind on a stick last night? Brother Corey, it's probably because we cut so many trees yesterday, and I dreamed about sticks. I thought about sticks. Friday night, I dreamed I was a muffler all night, and I woke up exhausted. Verse number 1 of Acts 28. You like that joke, don't you, Madeline? She said, Daddy, you learn one joke and you tell it everywhere. Maybe I'll learn another one between now and next Sunday. Verse number 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of, here it is, sticks, and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Father, I love you this morning. I pray, God, that you'd help us today. Thank you, God, for such a great spirit in our service. I pray, God, that as I preach today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here lost, God, that you'd bring them to a saving knowledge of your word. We'll be careful to give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look at this bundle of sticks here in chapter number 28 for just a minute. I remember, and you that's heard me preach chapter 28, heard me say this, but I remember the very first time that, probably not the first time that I read chapter 28, but the first time I really began studying in chapter number 28, Brother Josh, I came to verse number 2, and I got a little worried, because the Bible said this, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And I began to think about these Amazon people that you picture in your mind that was mean and they was ugly and man, they was going to be barbarous people. But it pays to study the word of God. Here's what I found out that those barbarous people was. It's very simple. They spoke a different language than those of Paul. That's what that means. Matter of fact, they was very kind to them, because the Bible said they kindled a fire for them that day. Now, whenever we begin to think about barbarous people, that's like people from up north. They speak a different language. I still love you. They speak a different language than we speak. So it wasn't a group of people standing there with spears that was fixing to kill them. That's not what it was. So they come in, man, they've been in a storm, they're tired, they're give out. They've been in a storm, they come in, they build them a fire. The fire begins to go out, and Paul gathers a bundle of sticks and places it on the fire. I want to preach on that stick for just a minute this morning. The first thing I see about it is I see that it is a bundle. That's what I see about it. Whenever I began to look at that and I studied it out, here's what I found out about that. And if I could explain it very simple, I would say it this way. Have you ever went down to the local country convenience store and they've got a bundle of firewood for $5.99? Do y'all understand what I'm saying now? There was a bundle of sticks that was there. Boy, I began to think about that bundle of sticks, and here's exactly what I thought about. Somebody put a lot of hard work into that. You say, well, preacher, why do you think it takes a lot of hard work to make a bundle of firewood? It takes a lot of hard work. If you've got a wood stove, you know what I'm talking about. Firewood just don't jump out of the trees and run up to your house and jump in the stove. Somebody's got to cut it. Somebody's got to bust it. Somebody's got to load it in the stove. But I also thought about this. To the common person that has nothing to do with heating themselves with wood, they could care less about that bundle of sticks right there. They see no use for it. They have no care in it. They walk by it and they never pay any attention to that bundle of sticks. But can I say something to you today? To the person that needs that bundle of firewood, it means a lot, man. I'm going to tell you right now, about December, I'll be thankful for a bundle of firewood because we heat with wood. Here's the moral of the story. Your life was just like a bundle of sticks one time. A lot of people walked by it and they saw no use in it. They looked at you and they just saw something that was dirty, that was sitting on a shelf or hanging in the woods or had blown over because of a storm and was just laying on the ground. But somebody saw something in that and decided to harvest that and bring it in and put it back to use. Does anybody else get where I'm going? I see number one, the bundle. Number two, I see this. I'm going to preach fast this morning. Number two, I see this. I not only see a bundle, but I see that it was brought. It was brought. I began to think about this. It's one thing to have a bundle of wood. It's another thing to bring it to a place of being used. It's one thing to see it sitting on the shelf. It's another thing to bringing it to a place of use. And can I say something to you this morning? You may have felt or you may have felt or you may even feel today that you are just that bundle of wood that everybody walks by. But you know what? Old Paul looked over and said, you know what? For the fire to continue burning to help those in their time of need, I'm going to need some of those sticks right over there. And Paul had to go pick that bundle of sticks up and bring that bundle of sticks to where it was at. And you know what? God looks at His church today, and you know what we need in the church? We need the fire of God burning in our church. And how does the fire of God continue to burn? God has got to have some sticks to keep His fire burning. And you may think, I can't do this, and I can't do that. My past is this, and my past is that, and my past is over here, and my past is over there. Oh, but aren't you thankful that there's somebody like the Apostle Paul that looks beyond it just being a bundle of something that nobody cares about and has brought you to a place now where you can be put in the fire and used for the glory of God. I see the bundle. I see it was brought. But then I see this. It was broken. It was broken. You just can't stick a whole log in a fire. Are you with me this morning? It had to be broken to be of use. How many times, even Brother Robert, have we walked through the woods at our house, because you burn the wood too, and found some sticks out in the wood and brought them back, and we would stamp on them, or we'd take an axe and hit them and would break that to put it into where it needed to be. I want you to hear me this morning. Sometimes God has to bring us to a place of breaking us before He can bless us. He has to bring us to a place of breaking us before we can be used. I thought about this. Whenever we get the building going, if we ever do, I know we're going to. There's going to be a bunch of dirt moved. The whole driveway down there is going to be changed. They're going to be building a settlement pond out there. It's going to be complete. And I really think I'm going to get a great big sign, Brother Bailey, and I'm going to put it up down there next to the road that says this: "Pardon the mess. Our church is a work in progress." And you know what? A lot of times in our life, that's what we are. We're just a big mess. Why? Because God's having to break us up to bringing us to a place of being used. I thought about this. I see the burning. I see the burning of this wood. I see the burning of it. What did Paul do? He found it. He brought it. It was broken. And then they put it in the fire. Now, right here is where I preach to get to all morning. If we're ever going to be used, we're going to have to go through the fire. The only way that stick was going to be a help, you can pick it up and walk with it. You can whop a snake with it. You can whop your kid with it if they ain't walking fast enough in front of you. Y'all would have seen Olivia's face right then. But the best use for that stick is in the fire. And we get saved, we realize that we was just a bundle in the middle of nowhere. But somebody saw something in us, and we get broken a little bit. But boy, when we get in the fire, so many times it's the transition period for Christians. Let me explain. They're going to do one of two things here. They're going to end up walking away from God, or they're going to end up becoming closer to God. For that piece of stick to help everybody around, that piece of wood, that stick, become a blessing. But the only way it could be a blessing was to go through the fire. The only way it could bring warmth to those around it was to go through the fire. Now, I want to say something to you this morning. In each and every one of our lives, God has a purpose for us. But every once in a while, He has to put us in the fire to make us be a blessing. He has to put us in the fire. We wouldn't know that God was the God of the storm if it wasn't for the storm. We wouldn't know that God could bring us through the darkest moments of our life if we wasn't in the darkest moments of our life. We would know nothing about Him being the bright and morning star if there wasn't a midnight. And in order for this stick to become of use and to bless those around it, it had to be put in the fire. And I asked you a question this morning. Come start playing. So I told you I wasn't going to be long this morning. I ask you a question this morning. You remember that day when you was just that bundle of sticks that so many people walked by and said they'll never make nothing out of theirself. Maybe they said they'll never make nothing for the Lord. Maybe the first time you walked in church, everybody looked and thought, what in the world are they doing in church? Not everybody was raised in church like I was. Matter of fact, there's a lot in here that wasn't. Remember that day when you went to church and maybe you even told some people, man, I got saved. God's changed my life. I'm going to church. And they said, well, I wonder how long that'll last. I bet it maybe a month, maybe 2 months. I bet it won't last. And what happened? God began breaking you because he wanted to use you. And God put you in the fire. And maybe right now you're sitting in the fire and you're screaming out, what do I do next? And I say the best thing you can do in the fire is to let your light shine, because it's in the fire that you affect more people than you do out of the fire. You see, it's easy to be faithful to church when everything's all right. It's easy to be faithful to church when all the doctor's reports are fine. It's easy to be faithful to church when you're not dealing with anything. But you let the heat come. You let the fire come. You let the doctor's appointment come. You let tragedy hit. You let the fire come. So many people, when the fire comes in their life, initially they run to God. Initially. 99% of people in 15 years of chaplaincy and in 5 or 6 years of a lot of chaplaincy, a lot of death notifications, a lot of being with families. Brother Brandon, in that past 5 or 6 years, I can think of one time when a family told me not to pray with them, one time. But every other time, when I introduce myself, I'm Chaplain Jonathan Barker with Surrey County Sheriff's Office. Usually the first thing is this, will you pray? Man, one of our own here in our community got put in the fire Friday afternoon. And when I walked up and Lynn seen me, here's what she said, pray. Pray right now. And I said, that's what we're going to do. And I got down on my hands and knees with that family. And I prayed and I asked the Lord's will to be done. Initially, the fire puts us to him. But let a few days go by and those emotions start taking place and anger sets in and so many run. I'm going to tell you something. If God's put you in the fire right now, shine. Shine. Let your light so shine before men. That bundle of sticks, you said, preacher, I'm nothing. Oh, but that little bundle of sticks heeded God's servant. Boy, we could talk a lot about that burning process, because it's in that burning process that serpent came out. Y'all seen that? That serpent came out. And I hope you'll come tonight. If God don't change my mind, I'm going to deal with the unity of the First Baptist Church of Melitta and how the serpent tried to destroy that unity. It's all right there. But that serpent never came out, Brother Jerry, until the fire. And when you get put in the heat, all of those things from your past is going to come back. Those addictions from your past is going to come back. You're going to find yourself trying to run back to where you used to would run to. That craving when you was depressed, when you was dealing with things, that alcohol, that drug addiction, that pornography, whatever that addiction was that you run to before God saved you and brought you out of just being that bundle and made you. You're going to find yourself wanting to divert to that again. But you've got to make a choice in the burning process to do one of two things. Either allow the serpent to stay fastened to you, or shake the serpent off of you. If Paul would have allowed the serpent, and I really hope you'll come back tonight, if Paul would have allowed the serpent to stay fastened onto him, Brother Josh, he'd have died. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. He would have died. Right there, he'd have died. But immediately, Paul realized that serpent was not of God, and he shook it back off to the fire from whence it came and felt no harm. The burning this morning. Have you been placed into the fire? I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do with it now? God's just trying to get you to a place where you can shine. We got to have some sticks. If the fire's going to keep burning, we got to have some sticks. Well, you say, preacher, I'm just a bundle. No. No, you're something that God died for. Let me back up and read. You're someone that God died for. So, preacher, you don't know. You don't understand. I don't have to understand. You are someone that God died for. Said, preacher, I'm just a bundle out in the middle of a forest that nobody cares about. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Who cares if nobody else in the world cares about you? He does this morning. It was just a stick, but that stick brought a blessing to everyone around it. There's a bunch of people tired. There's a bunch of people give out. There's a bunch of people felt like throwing in the towel and quitting. You know what? There's been some times in my life that I've been there. And I sure am glad there was a stick that was still in the fire that brought warmth to me in my time of need. A bundle of sticks this morning. Do one of two things. We can continue to sit on the shelf and complain about everything in the past. We can realize God brought us out for a reason. And even though He may break you, and even though you may have to go through the fire, fire gets impurities out. Fire gets the serpent out. Fire will draw you closer to God if you allow it.